When I came to Eureka Baptist in 2017, I look back at those times and I see it as a time of innocence in a lot of ways. Things were relatively calm, and I had no idea what was going to come upon the world and America and the church in America over the next several years. Things started to go haywire in 2018 when organizations like Christianity Today, the Gospel Coalition, and Together for the Gospel and others started to incorporate secular ideology into their Christian teaching. And what you need to understand about ideology is where you see the world through a specific lens. It's a filter that everything you think through, somehow it's related to this certain kind of thinking. And what was alarming is that these organizations that I saw as credible started to go down this path. The secular ideology that was brought in was social justice, or what in the academy has been called critical theory or critical race theory, or the main square, it's been called wokeism. What a growing number of discerning people came to discover is that Christian leaders were seeing the world through this lens. The lens was that the white man is the oppressor while the black man is the oppressed. In 2020, we saw people jump to conclusions with the Derek Chauvin and George Floyd incident. While what happened certainly was tragic, the story was immediately written without gathering all the facts. The narrative was black man killed by white cop. But where did this narrative come from? It came from this ideology that taught that the white man is the oppressor, while the black man is the oppressed. So it was presenting as if police officers were hunting black men. When certain people already have this preconceived system in their mind, they jump to these conclusions. They select certain facts that are convenient while ignoring other facts that don't fit the social justice narrative. Now, you would expect the world to function this way who does not know God. But this is precisely what happened. All of a sudden, during this period, there were evangelical conferences about the race problem in America. You would have thought it was the 1960s all over again. There were books and articles written about it, sermons preached. This was a barrage that really started in 2018 and took off after the Derek Chauvin, George Floyd event. It became clear that the church was not getting their cues from the Word of God, like they should, but rather from the world. What does the world care about? What are the world's values? Now, is social justice still a problem in the broader society and in the church? And the answer, of course, is yes. But once social justice took off, there was a strong response from certain Christian leaders that exposed what was going on. It wasn't just Christian leaders, it was also conservative political voices. What happened is that there were conferences exposing this, books and articles written, podcasts done on it, sermons preached, so on and so forth. We at Eureka Baptist were involved in exposing what was going on. I preached and wrote on it. We also hosted speakers where the subject was a major focus of those two events. Those who were strongest at pushing social justice within the church have sadly, largely speaking, not repented as we stand here in 2025. But what they have done is they have basically gone underground. They have become much quieter. Much of their social justice thinking and teaching remains, but they're more hush-hush about it. Now, this was the hottest issue in the church at the time. It was the issue where the gospel and the word of God were most at stake as a multitude were being influenced by it. But the days when social justice was the biggest problem, I believe, are past, even though it certainly lurks and is ready to make a big comeback in the future. But the biggest issue now facing the church is a new form of wokeism. But it comes from a very strange place. it comes not from the left, but is being pushed, largely speaking, by those on the right. This new wokeism is being pushed by not just those who call themselves Christians, but conservative Christians. Satan doesn't care how he gets you, just that he gets you. He will gladly get someone through radical views held by conservatives. And this is where we need to pay close attention to what the Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. What I'm going to present to you is my concerns about the Christian right in America right now. I am a pastor who's supposed to be a watchman on the wall, as Isaiah 62:6 says. Titus 1:9 says that I have the responsibility of rebuking those who contradict sound doctrine, no matter where they come from, whether from the left or whether from the right. I am not bound by any political group, but I am bound by the Word of God. What is interesting about this new threat to the truth of Scripture is that some of the strongest advocates against social justice are the ones pushing this new problem. It's very ironic. These people are doing this in the name of Christ as they fuse this empty philosophy with Christianity. It is tragic to me that it has come from those I once praised and recommended. It has come from pastors I once linked arms with. So what is this new wokeism? This new wokeism on the right sees Israel, okay, the nation state of Israel, and the Jewish people in general as the oppressor, and everyone else in the world as the oppressed. Maybe you've seen this. Maybe today you'll be able to put some pieces together because you're hearing some things that are out there. You're wondering, that sounds kind of strange. My goal today is to put the pieces together for you about what exactly is going on out there. In the Middle East, what this looks like is that Israel is this great oppressor. They see the Palestinians that surround Israel as the oppressed, while they have sympathy toward Iran. Because according to these people, Iran isn't the greatest problem in the Middle East. Israel is. When they look at the Jewish people in general, they select certain facts to argue a narrative that the Jews run the world. Once again, much of this is coming from the right. They look at guys like Klaus Schwab, an evil globalist who runs the World Economic Forum. Klaus Schwab has famously talked about the future, and he said, "You will own nothing and be happy." This man is Jewish, and he is evil, no doubt about it. Schwab's right-hand man is a man by the name of Yuval Noah Harari. And if you think that Klaus Schwab is evil, listen to this guy talk. He is terrifying. He hates the Bible, and he believes that a new Bible should be written by AI. And it's going to be much better. The strong rhetoric of this man is what is driving much of the evil that is happening within this globalist movement. Then you have a guy like George Soros. Soros has long funded far-left organizations that really are about the destruction of everything that is good about America. And he's funded, by the way, some somewhat conservative organizations to try to bring them to the left. He wants to tear down a nation that is founded upon biblical principles. George Soros is an evil man, and he is Jewish. Then you have Hollywood, where Jewish people have greatly influenced what has introduced lots of garbage into American society over the years. Jewish people have also been influential in spreading the pornography industry. It has also been said that Jews own much of the money in the world. But when you look at all of this, the question that needs to be asked is this. Are Jewish people uniquely evil? Because that's what's being pushed right now. These people who rejected Christ 2,000 years ago are uniquely evil. And we have evidence of it, they say. I've heard a couple of Christian pastors say this to me recently. I'm thinking, those words are going together. Uniquely evil. They're saying the same things. But when we look at all this, is this true? Okay, and they point to passages like John 8:44. John 8:44, Jesus is talking to the Jewish leaders. He's talking to the very ones who are going to put him on the cross, who are going to deliver him over to the Romans to be crucified. And Jesus says to them, "You are of your father, the devil." They also look at places like Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9 that call Jews a synagogue of Satan. They use certain scriptures to argue that Jewish people are uniquely evil. Okay, not evil just like the other unbelievers, but extra evil. But are the Jews uniquely evil? The answer is absolutely not. Who is it that follows Satan? The answer is found in the Bible. It is everyone who doesn't know Christ. So when Jesus said, "You are of your father, the devil," guess who that applies to? Anyone who doesn't follow Jesus, including the ones who were going to crucify him. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, tells the condition of the unbeliever. The unbeliever loves the world, they are dominated by their own sins, and they follow the prince of the power of the air, that is, the devil. Every unbeliever is described. Anyone who says that Jewish people are uniquely evil, they're raising the rhetoric against this people. And this is eerily reminiscent to Adolf Hitler in World War II, who saw Jewish people as uniquely evil. He saw them in Germany as those who were inferior genetically to his own ethnicity, but as those who had gained power as the Jews held prominent positions in Germany. So he targeted them. He saw them as a threat. He saw his Aryan ethnic group as superior and as the ones who should really be in power. He saw Jews as inferior genetically and as evil, and so he sent them on boxcars where they were transported to concentration camps where they were brutally murdered. And he thought he was doing good for his own country and for the world. We need to be students of history. And if there was a hatred in the past that escalated into violence, this can certainly happen again. And we are seeing some really troubling things right now. Now, on the right at this time, there are those who are the most extreme evil, who call themselves Christians. They have a podcast. They actually have a large following. Now, the name I'm going to tell you here in a second, you probably have never heard of this guy. But what I'm telling you is he has a large following, and he is influencing a lot of these bigger names that I'm going to say later. The guy's name is Corey Mahler. Corey Mahler, M-A-H-L-E-R. And he's got a podcast called The Stone Choir. And he is saying things that white people are genetically superior and Jewish people are inferior and that Jewish people made a way to rule over white people. And what's interesting is that his rhetoric has actually led him to be disciplined out of his church. Now, he was a Lutheran, and his church rightly disciplined him out. He is a neo-Nazi, and this is not slander. He is unapologetically anti-Jewish. And here are some exact quotes that he has posted on his X account. Okay, I'm not making any of this up. He said this: "Part of growing up is realizing the wicked men who now rule over you told you to hate the very flags that you were flown, that were flown by those men who were fighting on your behalf." Okay, he said this: "Jesus Christ is Lord, and Adolf Hitler is his faithful servant." Here's another quote: "Adolf Hitler is in paradise. Dietrich Bonhoeffer is in hell. Christians may praise only one of these men." And Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Christian who famously, he was a pastor who famously plotted the assassination of Adolf Hitler. Here's another quote: "The Third Reich," that's the movement that Hitler was a part of, the Nazi party, "was Christianity translated into politics." Here we go again. Whites are objectively superior on a number of salient metrics, not least of all intelligence, creativity, and beauty. I am not bitter in the least. I am quite happy with how God made me. And here's the last one. There are precisely zero Jews in paradise. Okay, this is a man. Very popular. Lots of people listening to him. Lots of people sitting in churches. Extra popular, by the way, with young men in particular. They voted for Trump. They're anti-social justice. And they're anti-Jew also. Satan doesn't care how he gets you, just that he gets you. You could be anti-social justice and be on your way to hell. So he believes that whites are superior not only over Jews, but all other ethnic groups. This evil wacko believes that Hitler was a good guy, that people like Bonhoeffer was a bad guy for trying to stop Hitler. This is a guy that denies that the Holocaust even happened. And there is a growing number of people on the right who are saying this very thing. I remember when I was a junior in high school going to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., and seeing all the photos of horror that took place against Jewish people. It was the height of evil to see what happened to these people, and to deny the Holocaust is utterly evil. Only deranged people arrive at this place, or people who have been greatly deceived. What people like Corey Mueller believe, and not just him, but also lots of other people on the right, they also say that Jewish people created the nation of Israel in the Middle East to advance their people, to advance their power. So this nation in the Middle East called Israel is an evil nation started by the most evil people in the world, the Jews. This narrative is coming from people who call themselves Christians. This has been called the post-war consensus. That is, that this narrative of the Holocaust and how the Jewish nation state of Israel started is not to be believed because this narrative was created only to give power to the Jews. And you would think that Christian pastors on the right would not even give it the time of day, but only condemn this immediately. I wish I could say this, but this is not the case. There's a pastor in Texas by the name of Joel Webben. He has a podcast called Right Response Ministries. For a while, I liked Joel Webben because he was outspoken against social justice. This is a common thread. They are all anti-social justice, which makes them even more dangerous because that can give them the guise of credibility, even though they're doing the work of the devil. I liked Webben's stance on COVID, but over the last couple of years, he has gone down a dark path. He said on a podcast that he refuses to critique the right. And my answer to that is, well, you stop being a pastor at that point then. If someone on the right is pushing Satan's agenda, you better stand against that. Satan doesn't care. There are things on the right that are demonic. Sadly, Webben, who has a big following on YouTube, is a part of this. Much of his effort these days is going after any Christian theology that is pro-Israel or sees the future salvation of Israel. And I kid you not, per someone I know who has gone to his church, this man has people coming to his church who hate Jews, who are white supremacists. They love Corey Mueller, and they love Joel Webben. Webben said of Corey Mueller that he is a fantastic follow. This is why this is called right-wing woke, okay? Get that in your minds. Right-wing woke. Within this new thinking that has spread like a lethal poison, the Jewish people are the oppressors and everyone else are the oppressed. So you have white people who see the Jewish people as having too much control, and therefore people need to rise up against it. And supposedly, this is the Christian thing to do. We need to rise up against this. These white Christians, notice my quotation marks, are doing their part in doing this. And you see, they need to assert Christian rule instead of Jewish rule. That's how they justify it. We're Christians. We need to assert Christian rule. Now, there is a spectrum. So, some involved in this are not as bad as others. But for people to be involved in this at any level, it gives it steam. It keeps it going. And this is what is coming from the church. On the conservative political side, what has really given this steam and what has made this really a major problem in my judgment, where it has really entered the mainstream to the point, as I have argued, this is the greatest problem within conservatism and within the American church right now, is the work of Tucker Carlson. Before he was let go by Fox News, he had the number one program on cable news commentary. His show was called Tucker Carlson Tonight. And to be honest with you, his program back then was good. When it came to addressing social justice and COVID-19, he was often right on point. He was more accurate than most pastors back then. In the evening, I look forward to watching his opening monologues. But over the last year or so, he has gone down the path of supposedly seeing the Jewish problem in the world. I knew this was becoming a huge problem when I saw people posting things on social media, and I would also hear people say things in person. These were people who were faithful listeners of Tucker Carlson. They listened to him during COVID. They listened to him go after Black Lives Matter. They listened to him defend the J6 people who were thrown into jail. A lot of people really attached themselves to Tucker Carlson during this time. But they faithfully followed him right into this. A couple months ago, I got my bike fixed, and the man I struck up a conversation with saw eye to eye with me on these other issues related to the conservative values and understanding things in the public square. But then he said something that really took a turn. He said he despised Israel. He said that Zionism is a huge problem, and that the Jews are uniquely evil as they kill Jesus and are of their father, the devil, and the Jewish government today in Israel is every bit as evil as the ones who killed Jesus. Now, as I'm meeting it with a random person on the street that doesn't know any better, I'm going to be much more patient with this person than a pastor who should know better. But hearing this man say this told me what a problem this was, and he wasn't the first one on the right that I came in contact with whom I heard this from. I remember I was in Walmart. Brianna remembers this. We were in the front of the store, and the kids were with us, and we were talking about all the horrible things that are going on in the world with this lady, and all of a sudden this lady was like, isn't Israel evil? And I'm like, wait. Brianna, you take the kids. Let's talk about this. So we ended up having a kind of a debate in the front of Walmart that day. Why are the average people on the street spouting these talking points? I think it is because of Tucker Carlson, who is wildly popular. Carlson has a massive audience. Millions and millions of people listen to him. And he has had some troubling people on his program in recent months, where it's been said that he's been giving softball interviews to really questionable people. He has called revisionist historian Daryl Cooper the greatest and most honest historian in America. A revisionist historian is one who selects facts to write a narrative, and in so doing, rewrites what historically took place. This is what Cooper has done. Daryl Cooper believes that Israel and the Jews are the problem in the world. He believes that sympathy toward Jews in the Holocaust is misplaced because what we've been told about the Holocaust is not true. Tucker Carlson has pushed the false narrative that the Schofield Study Bible, some of you maybe even own the Schofield Study Bible, he has said that it was funded by the Rothschilds, a very wealthy Jewish family, to advance dispensationalism, because if you advance dispensationalism in Christian theology, then you advance the Jewish cause, you advance the nation state of Israel, you give Israel more power. So you can see why they advance this theology, the theology of the pre-trib rapture, the theology that the tribulation is about the Israel, where Israel is the focus, the theology that says that Israel is going to inherit the land. by the way, the theology that the Bible actually teaches. Okay. But they're saying they invented this in the late 1800s to give Jewish people more power. I mean, this is utterly ridiculous. There's actually a book written, Dispensationalism Before Darby, that shows how long the preacher of rapture has actually been believed. And it's long ago. It's not the late 1800s. There's a long history that people have traced. In fact, the belief in a literal 1,000 years in the future is the earliest form of end times view. It's the earliest form. It's before the other views that are out there. And that is a central tenet of dispensational theology. And yet they're saying this was invented to give Jewish people and the nation state of Israel power. That Israel started because of this, and it just gives this people power. But it is false. But people are believing this, and pastors like Joel Webbin are pushing it, and it is given a huge platform on programs like Tucker Carlson's podcast. At some level, Carlson believes the Jewish power narrative, this woke right position, and this has been shown recently with what is going on in the war with Israel and Iran, if you want to call it a war. In a sense, they're always at war. But in a June newsletter, he told his readership this. Unnamed Washington sources express concern over Israel's ability to fend off Iran's retaliation, which would inevitably lead to Benjamin Netanyahu ordering the American military to step in and fight on his country's behalf. Okay, let me read that line again. Benjamin Netanyahu ordering the American military to step in. Okay. Did you guys catch that? Israel orders the American troops to fight in their war. That's what he's saying. He's saying that Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, is really the one in power. Netanyahu is supposedly a warmonger who started all of these wars in the Middle East, and President Donald Trump does not have a choice about war activity in the Middle East, but must follow the one who is really in charge, the Israeli leader Netanyahu. In other words, in the recent Iranian-Israeli conflict, Trump has gotten involved because the Jewish man who is supposedly over him told him to get involved. So Israel not only sent missiles to Iran, so did the United States. Now this is news to Trump, whom all of us have followed his first term. Trump's going to do what Trump's going to do. We know that about him. People have said this about Trump. You can talk to him, but he's going to do what he wants to do. And that's true. Joel Webbin, this pastor, this foolish pastor, who is also pushing this nonsense, wrote on social media, Israel did not attack Iran because Iran was about to attack Israel. Israel attacked Iran because there was about to be peace. People go to this guy's church. Now, where did Joel Webbin get this knowledge? He doesn't have any knowledge. But he is coming from this framework, this secret knowledge that the Jews are the problem in the world. And somehow it is Christian to believe this because the Jews are uniquely evil. This is like a new form of Gnosticism. You know, Gnosticism, early heresy in the early church, this secret knowledge. There was these special Christians who had this secret knowledge. And it's really a prideful thing. We know what's really going on. You guys don't know, but we know what's really going on. And again, they go to passages like John 8:44 that say that they are of their father, the devil, and Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 that say they are a synagogue of Satan. And what he said, by the way, is the opposite of what is true. This is the truth. In 1948, Israel became a nation in one day as the United Nations declared them a nation. And I believe this, and the elders teach this in this church, that what happened in 1948 was a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. It fulfilled a mass gathering of Jews, as was predicted in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 8 through 13. And then you have a verse like Isaiah 66:8 that says this: who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall a land be born in one day? Shall a nation be brought forth in one moment? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she brought forth her children. In one day, Israel was declared a nation. What has happened since 1948 is that Israel did not fight in a war to gain land like so often happens. The country that we live in, we had to fight for this land. That's what we just celebrated on the 4th of July, the Declaration of Independence. We were declaring independence from Great Britain. The Revolutionary War was fought. We gained independence. We have a nation. You know what nation? You know what Israel has to do? They didn't fight a war to become a nation. They have fought in constant wars to remain a nation. Please understand that. Israel has had to build up their military and fight since 1948 for their survival. This is why they have one of the best militaries in the world, because their military is their existence. Their existence is always on the line because of who surrounds them. The nations and terrorist groups that surround them are run by radical Muslims. To be honest, Islam truly is a religion of hate. It is a religion of violence. I once read a stat that 90% of the violence in the world is done by radical Islamic regimes and terrorists. The average Muslim you meet is not like this, but the Quran and other religious texts that are equal to the Quran have radical teachings. They have teachings strongly against two different groups of people, by the way. Jews and Christians. And you know what happened in the 7th century AD? Satan created this religion for that very purpose. To destroy Jews and to destroy Christians. I know it's a controversial statement, but I believe that. In these nations, the people are taught to submit, and if they don't submit, they are jailed or put to death. The greatest persecution toward Christians in the world is in these Islamic nations, in particular Iran. The chief of these in the Middle East, as I mentioned, is Iran. What has happened for years is that Iran has fought a proxy war against Israel through terrorist groups like Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Houthis. The chant from those who surround Israel has been a constant chant: from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Yeah, that's the nice way of saying it. But this is what it's really communicating. From the river to the sea, Israel will cease to be. These little ones who live in these places that surround Israel are told from a young age, death to America and death to Israel. They call Israel the little Satan, and America, the great Satan. Okay, so when people say that Iran, going after Iran is not within our national security interests, like, really? Do you realize that they actually consider us the great Satan, greater than even Israel, the nation that they're trying to destroy? Do you realize that Iran has stated loudly and clearly in their documentation that their main reason for existence is the destruction of Israel? They wake up in the morning with hatred in their hearts. And I'm not talking about the average Iranian. I want to be very clear on that. The average Iranian wants to be free. This is why when Netanyahu gave his speech, he's like, we love the Iranian people. Our war is not with the Iranian people. Our war is against these criminals who run the Iranian government, who are authoritarian, who have no problem killing people. Israel, since 1948, has always been a nation to defend itself against those who want them to cease to be a nation. And when people say that Israel is the problem in the Middle East, that is the opposite of what is true. But we live in a world where everything is backwards. Everything is backwards. Isaiah 5:20 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And it's interesting, you know, in my conversations with Trevor Rubenstein, who's actually going to be talking about, he's going to be coming here at the end of the month to talk about this as well, the last Sunday of July. He said that behind every conspiracy is a Jewish man. John Kennedy was shot. Guess who shot? Guess who's responsible for John Kennedy's death? You guessed it. Jewish people. Guess who's responsible for 9/11? Israel. That's what they're saying. Guess who's responsible for October 7th, 2023? It was really an inside job. It wasn't Hamas. It was Israel. It was Netanyahu. Because Netanyahu just loves war. He's a warmonger. That's what they're communicating. Even though the people who surround him literally want his country to be destroyed and annihilated forever. And by the way, there are things we can critique about Israel. Don't misunderstand me and say Seth is never going to critique Israel. They frown upon evangelism of Jewish people. We should condemn that. And I do condemn that right now. It is hard for Christian missionaries in the nation state of Israel. That's not a good thing. But let's not embrace crazy conspiracy theories about Israel. Okay, that's what I'm going after today. When Christians ask the question, do we have a responsibility to support Israel? I think the answer is yes. And we should support them in any way we can. This starts by praying for them. But when we see the leadership of the United States support them, this should bring delight to our hearts. We should rejoice that our leadership is able to discern between good and evil. It is important for Christians to understand the prophetic significance of the people of Israel in the land that was once promised to their father Abraham. When Jesus returns to the earth in the future, these Jews in this land are the ones who are going to believe in Jesus. We can have the highest confidence that these Jews will never be expelled from this land, even though the satanic influence of the nations that surround them wants them to cease to be. We think about this. I heard a Jewish political commentator say this. There's over 200 countries in the world, and there's only one nation of those over 200 countries in the world where they're just talk about annihilating them. Like, they don't have a right to their land. We got to get rid of these people. We got to get rid of this nation. There's only one nation. Everything is backwards. They're not the oppressor. Zechariah 13:8 says that one third of Jews left over in the land will believe in their Messiah. After rejecting the Messiah, the first time, this time, they will believe. As Zechariah 12:10 says, and I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on me, on him whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him, as one mourns for an only child, and weep bitterly over him, as one weeps over a firstborn. The nation of Israel largely rejected Jesus the first time, but when he comes again in the future, a mass gathering of Israelites will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. That's what Romans 11:26 says. All Israel will be saved. And back in April, I preached on the certainty of God's promise to Israel in Hebrews 6. Israel is not special because there is something inwardly virtuous about them. They are sinners like anyone else, and God sent this people that he had chosen into judgment when they sinned. They were sent into exile because of their idolatry. What we need to understand is that what is special about them, of all the people of the earth, is that they are the only nation in the history of the world that the Lord made a covenant with. The Lord made a promise with them. A covenant that the Lord will keep, because the Lord always keeps his promises. Anyone needs to ask the question, why is it that the world's focus is on this little nation in the Middle East, the size of New Jersey? The answer is that the Lord called his people back there because this is where the end times is going to take place. Scripture teaches in the book of Daniel and in Revelation 13:7 that the beast was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. What is going to happen is that two-thirds of Jews will perish, and one-third will be preserved, according to Zechariah 13, verses 8 and 9. Some of these Jews are going to perish because they're going to perish as the Antichrist is going to slaughter them. Some will perish in the judgment that God the Father pours out on the earth. But this one-third will be protected. Eureka Baptist, the Bible is clear on these things. These Jews who were brought back into the land in 1948, future believers are in this group as the Lord fulfills his covenant to them, whether it's those living or those born to them. So it's not just pagans that we are supporting and blessing, as many are saying right now. I hear that so much. You care more about Israel than you care about Christians. I can't tell you how many times I hear that. And I'm thinking, do you know what the Bible says? We read it this morning. Right now they are beloved to the Lord. Right now. Because of the future that God has for them. These are future brothers and sisters in Christ. And we as Gentiles are coming to faith in Christ. And we have for 2,000 years. But the time is coming when it's going to be their turn. When they are the ones who are going to come to faith. The arrogance of Gentiles out there. They're doing the very things that Paul tells them not to do. Read Romans 11 carefully. So as we defend Jewish people against these irrational attacks from all sides, as we do this, we are fulfilling what Genesis 12:3 says. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We cannot pick out precisely the ones who are going to be saved, but we know that they're in there. And we should have that bond with them because of that. This is why we have a flag downstairs. We have an Israel flag. All Christians should be lovers of Israel. There's been so much propaganda spoken against Israel and the Jewish people. And Christians need to see this. Christians need to wake up. We need to have discernment. We need to know exactly what is going on. Please understand this. Satan's mission has always been to attack Israel. Satan, this might surprise you, knows the Bible. He knows the Bible better than most pastors. Do you know how we know this? Look at all the activity in the world. Why are all these people trying to destroy Israel? Why are all these irrational attacks against Jews? Why has it always been this way down through history? Why is this group always blamed for everything? It's because Satan knows what the Bible teaches. Satan knows there's a future for Israel. He's not stupid. He knows there's a mass gathering coming. He knows they're going to be returned to the land. But you know what, Satan? You know this about Satan? He is so prideful. He's the most prideful being there is in the universe. He is so prideful, he thinks he can win. And so his goal is annihilation. We have to kill these people. Because if these people are preserved, I'm going to lose. Christians, wake up! Pastors, wake up! I can't tell you how many conversations I'm having with guys. They're fools. Wake up! I hope they don't stay fools, but right now they're fools. And I pray for their repentance. They are actually participating in the devil's works. And you have Candace Owens is another one. I am against Israel because I'm a Christian. No, you're not. She hasn't been, she hasn't been taught the Bible well. This is very interesting. What has happened is horseshoe theory. This is something that is very interesting. So a horseshoe is shaped like a U. And you have the left and you have the right. And when they meet together, when they become so radical, they actually meet together. So you know what's happening right now? The left are retweeting the things the right are posting. The right are retweeting things the left are posting. Because guess what? They have a common enemy. We don't like the Jews. The Jews are the problem. We don't like Israel. If the far left is retweeting your post, don't you think there's a problem? Don't you think maybe you've gone down the wrong path? No, you just want to, you can't, when it comes to Israel, though, people have a hard time thinking rationally. They really do. And people just need to slow down. Okay, think through this. Think about what you're getting involved in by pushing this rhetoric. And when Trevor's here at the end of the month, I want him to show a chart to our church. And this chart shows the rise, the great rise of anti-Semitism that is happening right now. When hate is coming from the left and coming from the right, there's a great increase in anti-Semitism. There are Jewish people who are afraid right now. And Christians are contributing to this, and it's shameful. People need to wake up as to what is going on. And I'm going after my own people on the right who should know better. People who call this their book. People who say this is the Word of God, who should know better. I'm calling them to repent. And if they hear this sermon, I'm calling you right now. Open up your eyes. Turn from your ways. Hamas manufactures evidence against Israel all the time. You have to understand this. What they do is they kill their own people, they take pictures of it, and they say, look at what Israel's doing. People are sending me all these things. Oh, see how wicked Israel is. See how wicked their government is. There's propaganda in high amounts against them. You have to understand that. You have to understand the ultimate agenda here. The next Holocaust might be in the tribulation, okay? And we might not be far off from that. Two-thirds of them are going to be killed. We need to see what is coming on the horizon. So we need to stand against this as Christians. We need to avoid the recent dark trend to hate God's chosen people. We need to do that. And we also need to call for the salvation of these people. One thing that's really exciting right now is that a lot of Jewish people are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And we need to pray for their salvation. We know that there's going to be a mass gathering in the future, but maybe there's an increase even before that day. And it seems that might be the case. So let's continue to pray that these people would believe in their Messiah, because they do need their Messiah. They do need Jesus. If they die in their Jewish beliefs, they will go to hell forever. And so we need to pray for them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, their Messiah, the one whom they will look on in the future and believe in. So as I mentioned earlier, we are going to, in 3 weeks, Trevor is going to be here, and he's going to be talking about this. And he has such a unique perspective, of course, because he is a Jewish man. And he's been to Israel numerous times, and he knows the ins and outs of all of this. And he has devoted his life toward evangelism of the Jewish people. And so he's going to share with us at the end of the month, and that'll be a wonderful blessing to hear from him. But this time, let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank you for this opportunity to look at this really weighty subject. It is a weighty subject, Lord. I understand that there's a lot of people who have strong feelings against Israel and the Jewish people. And my prayer is that anybody who's listening to us, that they would just examine their own heart if they have those feelings and see where they're coming from. Because there are traps that have been set that people easily fall into. And history does repeat itself. And historians have said that. Those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. We know how history goes. These are a people, even though there certainly are wicked ones among them, largely speaking, they are not the oppressors in the world. They are not the ones who have the power. They are the ones who are maligned and insulted and beaten and killed. This has been the story of history. There's been so many efforts to annihilate them. And I am so concerned about the strong rhetoric against them right now that's even coming from those on the right. On one end, you have the extreme, but even those who aren't as extreme, they are contributing to this rhetoric in some way. And I pray that this would bring conviction to people's hearts, and that we would do our part, Lord, to honor you with our words, with our thoughts. And most of all, Lord, we want these people that you made a covenant with 4,000 years ago, we want them to believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray that we would see a rise of that more and more as the days go on. In Jesus' name, amen.